Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's March 19th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Chris, let me ask you a couple questions here.
I can't wait.
Would you say that per capita, the most praying that happens in the world outside of a church is at a poker table?
Well, you lost me at capita.
I'm sorry, I was filling out my census form today, so I'm using big words.
Did you know it's against the law if you don't fill it out? Right on the front.
It's right on the front.
Well, I would say probably hospitals are number two.
Oh, okay, fine. Hospitals, all right. But poker's probably the top 100, right?
And then gambling is top 5, maybe.
Now, would you also say that, generally speaking, when people are praying at the table, they are praying for a card to come that will help their hand, or for a card not to come that will hurt their hand, when they're actually in the hand?
100%.
Excellent. That's what I thought. So, last night I was at Tampa Bay Downs, and I found myself in the peculiar position of praying for a card not to come in a hand that I was no longer in. Now, I'm sure I've lost everybody with that description, so let me just get to the hand here.
Well, let me ask you this before you do.
Yes.
Exactly who were you praying to?
That is a very good question, and you know, when I was planning this little bit for the show, I was going to work in something about how, you know, I'm not really praying since I'm an agnostic, and I don't want to, you know, offend any of our religious viewers out there, listeners out there. But I think everybody kind of knew what I was talking about, right? I'm praying to a false god. How's that?
The poker god.
Yeah, the poker gods. Yes, beautiful.
All right, excellent.
I'm probably a little agnostic of the poker god, too. But.
Which explains your results.
Yes, exactly. All right, and this is what's funny about this hand, too, Chris, is that this was the day after a huge promotion at Tampa Bay Downs where they gave $599 to the highest hand every half hour.
Man.
And $100 to the second highest hand. So a lot of money out there, right?
Yep.
I went out there all day, proofed the pages, didn't get even a sniff of a high hand. But I go out the next day for the team tournament, sit down in a little 1-1 game, just messing around like I do. And I get dealt the 7 of diamonds, 8 of diamonds, and the small blind. Right now, this is a 1-1 game, which means almost no one ever raises. Everybody's there with their welfare checks. So came in a small blind. I wrapped the table, as you like to say. And we see a flop of 7 of clubs, 8 of clubs, 10 of diamonds.
Okay, how did you wrap the table if you were in a small blind? Oh, because it's 1-1, right?
1-1, yes.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Ah! And what a flop.
It is a flop. Now, of course, it's a coordinated board, and you know, against some other players, I'd be really worried. But, you know, this is 1-1. I can swing it around a little bit. And so I bet out, I don't know, like $5 into this $7 pot, right?
Yeah.
And I get three callers, 4 of us in the hand. Not quite the result that I wanted, but I do believe I had the best hand here, right?
Yeah.
Though I do feel I am vulnerable, right?
Right.
The turn is the 9 of diamonds.
Sweet!
Except I did not say sweet! I looked at that card like it was armed with Tommy guns and it was pumping my body full of lead. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. That is the worst card in the deck for my hand. because I was focused intently on the fact that if a 9 came, anybody with a jack would now have a straight and have me beat.
Yeah, but but man.
So I checked in disgust. I checked around to one player who bet $13, a pretty big bet at this table. And it got to me, and I'm like, whew, easy fold. And I made a comment like, that was the worst card in the deck. Threw the cards in the muck. And then as soon as they hit the muck, it was like the slow motion kind of things, Chris, you know? Like when you buy the big gulp at 7-Eleven and you pay the extra, you know, dime to get the 64-ounce one. And you walk out to your car and you drop it. And you watch it, like, slowly fall to the ground and soda spewing everywhere. It was the same way. I was like, no! And the cards hit the muck, and I'm like, I just threw away an open-ended straight flush draw. Not to mention, I already had two pair.
Oh,
man. The way this hand is playing out, I'm pretty sure any diamond is going to be good for me. So as soon as I realized that, obviously, you know, I did not take out my American Farmers Insurance poker muck insurance. So I could not get the cards back out of the muck. So at this point, because I'm sadistic, I stayed at the table and sweated the river card. Because even though it wasn't a 5.99 day, Chris, I mean, still you get something for a straight flush besides the pot.
Right.
I think you get like a tournament entry or something like that. So there was some extra value there. And I'm like, wouldn't this just be right for me? That I'm totally not paying attention to the board. I mucked the hand. And then the freaking jack of diamonds or the six of diamonds comes in the river. And I would just explode, right?
Right.
So the rest of his hand, it's just one card, right? Just the river. It took 45 minutes.
No.
Because, again, I was in slow motion. No! And the dealer burned and turned the car. No! And boom, it hit with a thud. And I looked over and I'm like, five of hearts. I saved myself $13, but wow, the agony. I was about to get our good friend Dr. Frank Toscano on the line because he just wrote a great column in our upcoming magazine on heart attacks at the table. And I wanted to get a ruling on him because he kind of gave some, you know, tips on, you know, what's a crazy, oh my God, call 911 heart event, and what's a, hey, just get up and relax a little heart event. And I was quite certain I was in the first. But I would need him to explain it to me. But, wow. Can you only imagine if that straight flush would have came, Chris?
You know, it's stories exactly like this and situations exactly like this that make those guys on the 2+2 forum say, don't listen to those guys on that podcast because your bankroll will go down to nothing. Anybody who folds an open-ended straight flush draw plus two pair, oh, man, you don't want to listen to his advice, man.
Oh, man. You know, at the time, I was even thinking, I'm like, should I even call with just my two pair? Not even realizing. But, you know, what went through my head is I'm like, oh, my God, there's two flush draws out there now, too. All my outs are dead. Not even totally realizing that I had diamonds.
Yeah.
But, man. You know, I hate that. I guess it's a good reminder that you could fixate it on, you know, a good player. You're thinking about what card you want to come and how you're going to react to it. But you got to remember what your hand is.
Yeah.
And remember to peek down again and think about it. And I admit that's one of my biggest problems is I don't peek back at my cards before I fold and actually think it through to make sure whether I should. There's probably a case to be made, even if it wasn't a diamond on that thing, to still call and try to hit a boat or something or you know, get a split pot or something. I don't know.
Hey, you know, we have a Poker 101 course coming up in March. Maybe you should, at the end of March, you should think about attending.
March 31st at Derby Lane. I will definitely consider signing up for that. I heard the instructors, at least one of them, is really good.
I think we said something about always look at your hole cards. you know, I told you, we had a woman once in a tournament who was in the blinds and wouldn't look at her cards because she thought she couldn't look at them because she was in the blinds.
Yep. And, you know, I have a feeling that you're going to retire that story now at the next Poker 101 and replace it with the donk-tastic move of Instructor Scott Long.
Something better always comes along.
Well, before my traumatic hand last night, Chris, I was thinking about some stuff because the forum has been really active at NEMMagazine.com/forum lately. Still not a lot of people on there. We'd like to see more on there. But the folks that are on there are back and forth on a lot of issues, right?
Yeah.
And we mentioned that we had this amazing back and forth about my little bluff bit, I call it. Because it really was a bit and turned into this like national security violation. And then we've had another debate here pretty recently, too, that's been going on. And it made me start thinking, because we have a good segment of our forum participants that are very math-based, Chris. Would you not agree?
You know, I totally agree. Absolutely.
You know, when they love the hand analysis, and they're always, you know, what is the opponent's range of hands? I'm getting 3.7 to 1 on my call, and, you know, my M is 7.3, and, you know, and I'm like, you know, putting my hands in front of my eyes trying to figure this all out, because I am not a math guy, all right? And anybody who's listened to the show from even last week, not alone 4 years ago, knows that, right?
Yeah, you just look at the pot, and if it's big enough to make you drool, you call. That's basically your math.
Exactly, exactly. So it made me start to think that how our career or the things that we are most interested in life play a role in how we perceive poker.
Well, I'm definitely going to need you to expound on that, because when I first saw this idea of yours, I wondered if you meant, like, how does owning this magazine affect the way we play in rooms or whatever. So I'm real interested to see where you're going with this.
Well, here's the thing. As I mentioned, a lot of our forum participants are very math heavy. I would say probably on balance, most of our podcast listeners are probably math based, and because, you know, the podcast thing is pretty accessible to computer literate folks.
Right.
We have a lot of computer programmers that listen to the show and things like that. And so they're, you know, 8 hours a day or more, they are fixated on math and absolutes. I mean, when you're talking about computer programming and math, there is absolutes, right?
Yeah.
2 + 2 is always going to be 4.
Right.
There's no arguing that, correct?
Right.
All right. Now, take the other side of the folks, and, you know, think about the SAT. There's two sides, right? There's the math and there's the verbal.
Yep.
Let's say you and I, who are career journalists, probably wordy people more than math people. When you write a headline or write a lead to a story, there are 30 different ways you can write a lead to a story or a headline, right? There's no absolute in what we do.
No, no absolute. Very
aside from maybe spelling.
Very loose. And even that, you know, we've done some misspellings on our part and still gotten away with it. So, but, you know, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of flexibility in our side of the career world, I guess.
All right. So then my point then is, if you're focused and you're the type of person that is math driven and your career is what you focus on, it stands to reason when you get to a game like poker where math could play a really big role, that you're going to favor the math side of the poker game.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're folks like us that are a little more verbal and not so much math, you're going to focus more on maybe the other part of the poker game, the, you know, the tells or the feel, the rhythm of the game, and not so much the math. Now, obviously, it's not mutually exclusive. You know, there's going to be math geeks that are really good at the other side too, and there's going to be folks like us that are really good at math. But generally speaking, I think you probably favor one side or the other, don't you?
Yeah, totally. And I don't know if I'm going to step on your toes what I'm about to say, but...
Oh, my toes are free now, so step away.
Well, you know, as a journalist first and an editor second, the first thing that you're always trained to do is ask questions. You're always questioning whether it's the government and you're the watchdog, or whether it's the coach on the sideline, why did he make that call if you're a sports journalist. Or as an editor, you want to make sure that you know everything that the general public is going to want to know from that story. So as a poker player journalist, you're sitting at the table, you want to know, why did he make that bet? Why is there that much, you know, why is he doing this? Why is there that much in the pot? Why? So it may not be math, but with journalism, with me, it's always, I'm always inquisitive. Why would he do that? Or why is he doing that now? And that's what makes me make a lot of my decisions. So I totally agree with you. I think that your career does dovetail right into how you play poker. And I think that's why you and I aren't math guys, because we're more inquisitive and more editorial than we are mathematical and exact.
Well, I think one of my the best things about the forum, too, is when I started thinking about this, I started thinking about not just the recent debates we've been having in the forum. But overall, and thinking back about how funny it is to me to read from some of these math guys, their posts, they're like, again, they figured out all the math. They're like, this is easy. This is crazy. You're mathematically correct to do it. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And they're so absolute on it, which is great. And they have such a trouble understanding why folks like me or possibly you might do something that doesn't completely dovetail with math. Now, you know, in blackjack, basic strategy, it's all math. You're playing against a dealer. There's no room to wiggle there.
Yeah.
That is a mathematically proven game. Poker is not. Even if you are not getting the right odds, if you have a good feeling and a read on your opponent, you're going to make that call, or you should make that call. It doesn't matter what the math says.
Right.
Obviously, the math helps you in that decision, but that's what's really interesting is people that just, they get so frustrated on the forum. 2 + 2 = 4, you have to fold. 2 + 2 = 4, you have to raise. And there's so much more to the game, and you know, obviously those of us that are not math-centric obviously could benefit from becoming more math and including that in our decision-making, but... Well, that's the kind of stuff I think about now.
Well, my question is then, how does a janitor at a strip club play poker? What's his angle?
Probably in the back room against some players that got a lot of good money. And
you get to your career and you translate our careers, and it's so easy. It's an inquisitive thing, so that's what you are at the poker table. And if you're a computer or a math guy, it's a math thing. But what about people down the middle, like
I think it's a math and verbal thing. I mean, some careers are more heavily on math, like accounting or computer programming, and other things are more verbal. That doesn't necessarily have to be journalism or English or writing. It's just non-math, I guess. That's probably the better way of breaking it down. Folks that their career or vocations or their hobbies are very math-driven, and those who career and vocations are not very math-driven. I guess is how I'd split it up.
Yeah, and it makes sense if you're a math savant, or if you're just attracted to math or very good at it, that you'd be attracted to this game because, you know, generally the numbers will add up. I mean, look at Chris Ferguson. I mean, he is so calculated, and he's computer science, and I wouldn't really say Chris Ferguson is a great reader of people, but I would say that he's purely math, and he's so successful at it that you could survive or even thrive playing poker as a math guy only. So it's real interesting to see how many people are attracted to it based on that alone.
Oh, I think you could be the successful the other end too, I'm saying. Yeah. I totally agree. It's interesting to me how many people are absolute in their opinions. You have to be one way or the other. I can imagine that computer screen when they type 2 + 2 and it comes up 5, they go, ah! And it drives them crazy. It's probably the same as me posting on the forum, oh, you know what, I'm going to raise here. Why? Well, that was an interesting discussion. So I appreciate you not guessing what I was talking about and being surprised.
I mean, I had no idea, and it was cool. I mean, one thing I do know that's absolute is that there will be an Apes event Saturday at noon, March 27th, and it will be PLO. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. One thing that we need to make sure that we get across is, you know, we've had a multiple banana winner already, but that doesn't mean he gets 2 seats in the tournament champions, right?
Well, yeah, and to be honest, he asked me what happened after he won Edward M111, and I didn't have an answer for him. And it turns out he got an automatically generated email from PokerStars that gave him some options on what to do with his seat, which was interesting. So he followed up with him, and it turns out that was, again, an automatically generated email that he should not have received. So here's the bottom line. If you win a nanner, you get a seat in our Tournament of Champions. If you win 2 nanners, you don't get anything else.
You still get that 1 seat.
Yeah, you can't sell that seat. You can't transfer it. So at this point going forward, there will be no more than 23 players playing in our Tournament of Champions this year. And if we get more multiple winners, it's going to be less. So I guess the incentive, if you want to walk in Edward M111's shoes, besides getting 2 bananas and getting a bunch of Player of the Year points and a lot of cash and all that kind of stuff, is that you are limiting the field in the Tournament of Champions where that $500 is up for grabs.
Absolutely. If he wins the rest of the way, he's going to be playing heads up for the...
Exactly.
Yeah, or whatever. So, so anyway, the other thing too that's absolute is that it's March 27th. It's Pot Limit Omaha, and you and I will not be playing because we will be in the Gulf of Mexico.
That is correct. Actually, we'll be in Cozumel at that point.
Oh, we're actually already there then?
Yeah, yeah. We'll be, you know, you and I will probably rent Jeeps together and race down the beach and, you know, do some prop betting and stuff like that. Or you'll stay on the ship and get some sleep while the wife drags me out to buy some fruity drinks.
So then I would be in the Gulf of Mexico. So. Well, anyway, there's one cabin left for our cruise, right? Isn't that what we last heard?
Yeah, I believe there's just one left. So, I mean, it's funny, too. I've been out at the poker rooms this week, and a bunch of people are asking me, hey, your cruise is coming up, right? And I'm like, yep, next week. can I still get on? I'm like, wow, poker players. Yeah. Gotta wait to the last minute. It's so crazy. And I'm like, well, yeah, we still got one cabin, I think. So, but, yeah, so if, you know, for some reason you woke up today and said, you know what, I would rather be in Mexico next week than playing Apes, there's still a chance, and we'll give you Mary's number one last time until the next cruise. 727-733-3428. Call her, and we'll see you next week.
Well, we already mentioned our Poker 101 class is coming up March 31st, and we're going to expand it to a much more intermediate strategy for Hold'em. We might even incorporate some videos and things, so we're getting pretty excited about that. But let's move on to our Ante Up news desk.
The World Series of Poker this year will host a 27-player invitational where poker's fans' votes will decide 20 of the participants in the televised event that features a $1 million prize pool. All World Series of Poker bracelet winners are eligible to receive votes, while 5 automatic bids have been extended to folks, and 2 spots will be filled by sponsors. You can vote at WSOP.com.
So Durr can't, like, automatically get a seat then, right, because he doesn't have a bracelet?
Yeah, yeah. So I think he's out of it.
Otherwise, he'd have definitely gotten in.
Yeah, the 5 automatic bids, I can't remember exactly who they were. I think it was Mike Matisani, Duke, Barry Schulman, people that have won either the World Series main event, Joe Cada's in, and some other big events over the course of the year. And then, but the other 20 are all going to be voted in by the public, and you have to be a bracelet winner. So there's only about 500 and change of those still roaming the planet. So,
and I'm sure that they're excited. Isn't it like the money being like donated? It's like a free roll. So I mean, that's...
yeah, it's like $1 million prize pool that's just given up. I mean, it's a free roll. You don't have to pay to get in. That's amazing. $1 million for free. They carved up by 27 players. I think the top 9 make money in this thing.
Wow.
Or something like...
Wow. See, that's what the players are looking for. They're looking for people to put up money for them to play and make it a true, you know, true free roll. Well, it's not all good news for the World Series, though, as the Nevada Gaming Control Board is probing whether the acceptance of .NET versions of popular online poker rooms is appropriate.
Wow, yeah, I mean, whew. I mean, Harrah's already is taking a pretty strong stance on this, and, you know, not letting those, the .coms into the, you know, their form of Palooza, which doesn't exist anymore, and no direct buy-ins, but the, you know, the .NETs is a way kind of around it, even though they don't have as big of a presence at the World Series. But now you got the Gaming Control Board going, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if we're really buying this .NET thing. So they're taking a look at it, but wow, can you imagine what's going to happen at the World Series if the Gaming Board decides, hey, you know, we just don't want any of these folks anywhere associated with this event.
Brutal.
Or any event in Nevada, for that matter.
Absolutely brutal. That
crazy.
Would be, yeah.
Crazy. All right, finally, Zynga, the creator of the most popular poker game on Facebook, has released a new game, Chris, that combines Texas Hold'em with its popular Bejeweled Blitz. It's called Poker Blitz and is sure to clog the news feeds of all of us who refuse to play these annoying games on Facebook.
What's Facebook?
Yeah, see, you're kind of lucky. This is the one time I feel envious of you for not being on Facebook. Is they got all these crazy, stupid games where you can start a farm or become a mafia guy. And next thing you know, when I log on just to find out what's going on in my friends' lives, instead I find out who planted beets this week, or, you know, who needs a Tommy gun massacre over here. And it's just annoying, and this is just one more of it. But, you know, it is the most popular poker game on Facebook, so.
All right, well, you know, we have a hotline clip from Jacksonville. Guy's name is Andy. The phone number is 813-448-1120. And I want to hear what he has to say, because... somehow, two of the same cards got mixed into his deck. Let's see what happens.
We were playing a home game, cash game, 50 cents a dollar at a friend's house, and I just got pocket tens, 10 of hearts, 10 of clubs. The flop comes, who knows, 7, jack, 5. I don't even really recall. Anyway, the turn comes to 10 of hearts. I look down, I have a 10 of hearts with the 10 of clubs. So what do I do? I stop it right then, mention it to everybody. Long story short, house rules decide that since this had been in play all night, that the players that had bought in and lost their money should be reshipped what they've already bought in for. I did not agree with it. Either did the other guy that had been up. But since it was house rules, I obliged. But anyways, how would you guys handle it? What do you think should be the appropriate handling of that situation?
Wow. How does that even happen?
This is one of those unfortunate things where it probably only happens once. I mean, I'm sure they've got like Fort Knox security now that every future home game, they're all going to sit there and count down the deck and make sure, But when it happens like this, I mean, what do you do? And I know you've done a little research on this, Chris, but I'm just going to guess here that the research is not to give losers their money back. I just can't see that being what ultimately happens. I know they're trying to be fair. And, obviously it was a tainted game. It doesn't look like anybody was purposely nefarious in this, so I guess it's fine that way. But, I just don't know. That's how I would resolve this.
Now, here's the thing. Now, I checked in Robert's Rules, and I actually used that official Rules of Poker book that Kelly Mix had written.
Yep.
And it's the same for private games and tournaments and whatever. And it's under 3.5 irregularities. That's the
okay.
And it says rule number 4: if two cards of the same rank and suit are found, all action is void, and all chips in the pot are returned to the players who wagered them. Now that says per hand. You can tell that's per
right.
hand, not
exactly.
for the whole
that makes
night.
Sense. Right.
Right. So the minute they discover the 10 of hearts, the extra 10 of hearts, if they're in a hand when they discovered it, then everything should have just gone back to everybody then. But nowhere did they say that it's for the whole evening, because everyone was playing with 2 10 of hearts. It wasn't like,
I guess that's what I'm saying is it's, the giving their losers the money back, that's saying that they were harmed when, the winners were equally as harmed in a sense,
right.
in a philosophical sense. I mean, maybe they, were lucky enough to get, a hand where they needed one of those, the 10 that was missing.
Right.
Or the 10, the extra 10. I don't know exactly what it was to it. Whether it was an additional card in the deck or whether a card was missing, But everybody was equally, that's not a skill thing. That's just a luck thing of the draw. And at that point, I would say, hey, sorry, we'll fix it from now on and come up with a way not to make it happen again. And again, what I would suggest from now on is, checking the deck before you start. Of course, in our home game, we've never had this problem, and I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but, we play with one deck. It goes right back into this little case when we're done the game, and it comes back at the next time. I don't use it any other time.
Right.
So that's one way of probably preventing this in the future is to, have a deck for the game that is only used for that game.
And the other thing, too, is that when they send you setups, that's why they always send you different color backs so that
that's true.
If somehow the cards get mixed together, you'll know because you see a different colored back. Now, there's one other thing. At the end of that rule, it says, subject to the next rule, Rule 5, a player who knows the deck is defective has an obligation to point this out. If such a player instead tries to win a pot by taking aggressive action, like trying for a free roll, the player may lose the right to a refund, and the chips may be required to stay in the pot for the next deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, if you knew that the 10 was there and you turned two red 10s over and then didn't do anything about it and said, oh, look, or whatever, then all that money would stay in the pot for the next hand for people to play after.
Awesome.
And that's
totally
for both.
Awesome.
That's for tournaments, too.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Wow.
So.
Huh. All right, well, Andy, terribly sorry for the dispute in your game there, and I hope everybody's still happy with the decision made. And we're going to try to make it easier on you because we are going to send you a deck of J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com. They are the official playing cards of Andy Up. And they're so good, Andy, that you're not going to want to mix them up with other cards. So my advice, take this beautiful deck of cards, make that your designated deck for this game, and you won't have this problem again.
Guaranteed.
All right, Chris, we got a mailbag here from Kyle, no last name. He's probably part of the Mafia Wars on Facebook. And it wasn't so much a mailbag. He just was interested that he got this email from Poker Stars, our great sponsor here at the Antioch PokerCast. And he says this is the only money he's ever gotten back from Poker Stars because he sucks. But I'm going to paraphrase here, but he got a great email from the PokerStars support team. And essentially what it says is PokerStars became aware that two players were in violation of Poker Room rules. And Kyle here was involved in one or more of the hands where these players were. And they went back and reviewed all the hands and decided to credit his account $1.80, Chris.
Wow, don't spend it all in one place.
Well, you know, again, he's probably playing penny, two penny or something like that. So I'm sure they had some kind of formula for deciding how to make this right. And they went on to say that, you know, they've closed these accounts and they've implemented measures to prevent those same people from getting back on with another account. And because of privacy policy, they couldn't get into the whole what exactly happened.
Right.
But in short, what do you think about this?
Love
out of the blue, an email from an online site saying, hey,
absolutely,
we came up with, we figured out a problem, we researched it, we realized that some people were harmed, we're going to do our best to make it right and get rid of these people, and, you know, no sweeping it under the rug, no, you know, Kyle had no idea anything was going on.
Absolutely love it. I mean, this is exactly the reason why poker should be regulated, and this is one of the things that makes it viable and believable to say the government that they do have these you know, watchdogs in place, that they do have these security measures, that they do find out and rectify the problem whether you know or not. And I think that's a testament to PokerStars and their system and their customer service. You know, the support team there has always been really good. And I'm not just saying it because they sponsor our show. They win the award every single year in Bluff. Every single year. And every time when we moved our site, our series to PokerStars, that was one of the reasons why everyone wanted us to move, because how good their support was and how, you know, how good it was with security. And I just love that. I love that they did it and they didn't have to do it or whatever, but it just, it makes you want to keep going back to that room knowing that they are looking out for you, even if you're not either savvy enough or smart enough or whatever to catch the people doing it to you. And this also proves my point. I was talking to my mom. My mom plays that poker on Facebook, and so does my brother. And they were arguing about something, and I'm like, look, and I explained it to them. This is what happens, you know, but you're not playing in a regulated site. You're not playing in – this is just some game that some guy uploaded to Facebook. They're not watching it for security. I said, you're probably playing with five guys who all know each other, and they're all just helping each other out. I said, but when you do that online, they keep track of that. They see that every time two people the same name or – same time they sat next to each other more than once in a week, or they follow that stuff and have security for it, and this only proves that point, and I love it.
Beautiful. And Kyle, not only did you hit that $1.80, but we're going to send you a $10 staking package from getastake.com that will, you know, that's almost five times your new bankroll.
It is five times.
So go out there and good luck with that. And a few other folks, send us an email to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, and if we use your mailbag or hand of the week, we will send you swag.
Greetings, this is Columbo from pokerwannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 minute mystery. The case of the lycanthrope. Okay, it's the daily No Limit MTT, and we are early, early in the tournament.
Sir, could I have a moment of your time?
Folds around to me in middle position with the ace of diamonds, queen of clubs, and being first to act, I raise it up 3x to 120 with 6,000 behind. Folds right around to the big blind, who calls 80. The flop is the two of diamonds, the six of spades, and the ace of hearts. Then the big blind comes out betting 260. His range is wide here, and with top pair, I feel like I have to call rather than raise. With a well above average stack, I'm not looking to build a big pot right now. Turns the king of diamonds, and now the big blind again bets out pot 780. I must admit I'm having trouble putting him on a hand here, and again I call. Not thrilled with it, but that's what happened. The river's at six of clubs, and now I have aces up with a king kicker. But our big blind bets out pot again, 2,000. Seems like a simple fold, right? And what do you put him on here?
Remember, Sven, our friendly PokerStars Porsche dealer?
Woohoo!
Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that PokerStars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our PokerStars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Chris, let me summarize my musical taste for you, okay?
Okay.
I prefer Sammy Hagar and Van Halen to David Lee Roth.
Right.
And I prefer David Lee Roth's solo work to his Van Halen work. That's about all you need to know about my musical taste. In other words, I have none. A point that my wife reminds me of every day, you know, because she's really into music and drags me around, and I just don't know what's good or bad, but I know what I like, right? And that's all that counts.
Exactly.
So, you know, a while back we had this great song called I Tilted sent in to us by a listener, right?
Yep. Luigi Capella. Yep.
And from all the way somewhere around the country, right, the world?
Yeah, it was like down
Australia
under.
Australia or something?
Yeah, exactly.
It was great, and we liked that, and we're going to play a little segment here because it look what it spawned here now. Now, all of a sudden, every once in a while, somebody sends us a new song. It says, hey, you know, I heard of this. It's a poker-themed song. I kind of like it. Think you guys might like it. So, you know, we got one, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And then somebody emailed a second one. I'm like, wow, okay, there's another one. Well, now we got at least 3.
Right.
And anytime you get 3, it becomes a show. So today we're going to take a look at some of the new poker music out there. You know, none of that crazy game of poker from those OAR guys that, you know, shut down our musical theme and made us go to this great podcast safe stuff that we have now. But
yeah, you know, I thought about pulling that song out and playing it just for old time's sake, but screw them. Screw them. Well, let's take a quick listen to I Tilted, which got everything started.
I had ace and 5 of diamonds, she began to grin. I raised before the flop, she just laughed and said all in. I should have listened to my head, I knew that it was wrong, then I tilted.
That's pretty catchy, man. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm real partial. You know, you were talking about what kind of music you like. I'm real partial to acoustic guitar. I really like that.
Oh, yeah, acoustic guitar is great. And, you know, the one thing that my wife has trained me to like is singer-songwriters. And I think probably a lot of these ones we'll listen to today are singer-songwriters, the people that wrote the songs themselves and are strumming the guitar with it. And, you know, that's some cool stuff.
Yeah, let's see. The next one now is Playing Poker for a Living. And this comes from that. It's Jason Mershon, right? This is the guy that with the World Series tie-in, remember?
Yeah, we mentioned that on a show a couple weeks ago. He's the guy who's promising to share 50% of his not-yet-won World Series of Poker main event final table winnings with the first 15,000 people who download and buy his new song. I haven't checked in with him yet to find out whether that he's hit that 15,000, but if you want to get it on this easy not-yet-earned money, go and download it. But we got a little snippet of it, right?
Yeah, let's hear it now.
I'm drinking, pissing, smoking, gambling, playing Texas Hold'em all night. Yeah, I'm holding, bucking and a bluffing, just trying to win some money tonight. Well, I'm due to catch some cards soon, and I'll feel all right. Well, I make my living playing Texas Hold'em every day, but I've been playing for 9 hours, and I've yet to make my pay. I always try to play good, win most every other time. But then there's times I just leave with a dollar and a dime.
All right, I find this, you know, I'm going to get a little old here, like a broken record during the show. But it's kind of catchy. It kind of reminds me of like the Georgia Satellites, you know.
I got a little change in my pocket.
Exactly.
You know, I can imagine these guys like recording a song in the back of a Ford F-150 too. Just got that country feel, you know.
Well, you know, I wonder how many of these poker songs are out there. I mean, it kind of fits with the whole kind of country genre, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of gambling and, you know, been wronged by my lady and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of them have kind of this country twang to them a little bit.
You know, one of the things that I like, though, is that they're combining their passions. You know what I mean?
Very true. Very true.
That's what we did. You know, we're just doing it in a different vehicle, but we combined our passion for journalism and poker and started a career, and that's what these guys are doing. And hats off to them, man. And I like this next one, too. I like this next one.
Well, you remember when I stopped by your house one day and said, Chris, I've got an idea. Let's start a poker band. I'll play the guitar. Faso could play the drums. You could be the lead singer.
Oh, no.
And you said, no, dude, come on. How about a magazine? I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So combining my second passion.
All of our songs would sound like Van Hagar.
Yes, awesome.
Well, this next one was brought to our attention by Alex Stoll. The name of the song is Gambler's Prayer. And what's the guy's name, Scott?
Jonathan Colton. And I guess he's kind of an up-and-coming kind of singer up in New York City, I think.
Look down on me. I'm not as wealthy as I used to be. It's not even 10. And I'm busted again. Why does this happen to me? Give me a sign. Show me you care. Straight to the ace, Lord, or even a pair. Can't make it alone. And I sink like a stone unless you...
Wow, a poker ballad.
That's what we need, you know? I kind of feel like, one, I love the sound of this song, but, you know, it's a ballad. I kind of feel like we could, you know, ask that cute girl on the other side of the gym to dance to it when we're at the senior poker prom.
Oh, man.
But I'm sitting there praying not only about winning the pot, but, you know, maybe scoring a little later, you know?
Hey, you know, my brother is renewing his vows next month. I think I'm going to suggest this as their first song dance to, you know?
Yeah, what kind of dance would you do? Because, you know, we got scammed by that, you know, that those dancing schools when we got married. You know, you come in and get the free lesson. Next thing you know, you're $1,000 poor and you can't dance any better than you did before. And they taught us all the different dances, and I'm terrible at all of them. But, I wish I could remember now. I wish I got something out of that $1,000. So I can decide what kind of dance would be good for this Gambler's Prayer. But it's, you know, it's a nice song.
The other thing, too, is you could watch Dancing with the Stars.
I could. In fact, actually, I'm seriously thinking about it now because, you know, Aaron Andrews is on there this time.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Shannon Dougherty.
Our next song is Texas Hold'em Blues.
And I like this. We met this guy, Randy Hawk.
Yeah.
He actually came to one of our Poker 101 courses in St. Pete. He's one of the local blues musicians here in the Tampa Bay area. And wrote this great song called Texas Hold'em Blues. And he's actually working now to, you know, a real modest guy. He's trying to get somebody who's got a name to actually record it for him, you know.
Yeah,
but this version is him. And, you know, they're also talking about maybe trying to work this into some kind of ESPN broadcast coming. So whatever we could do to help that out. You know, Chris, when I first heard this, I'm like, you know, this is a rock and blues song.
Yeah.
It would fit right in at the Ante Up home game. And, you know, the masses demand that I turn off curling and put music on. We always end up on the DirecTV Blues channel, hoping at some point that great classics like Burning the Crack House Down will come back on. And so that's exactly what I thought now. Good old blues song.
Yeah, you know, I've never been accused of actually having rhythm or soul, but I know I've got the blues because that song was awesome.
And you know what?
He gets his money worth out of that whammy bar.
Yeah,
I love that, man. That is awesome.
I wonder if we can get Texas Hold'em Blues on Guitar Hero. I'll have to play it on the beginner, you know, when I just have the three buttons, not the five. Because I got, you know, I got these web fingers, so I can't really, you know, lick. I guess that's what it is, right?
Yeah. You know what? Don't say lick to me, okay? Now, of course, there are other songs out there, like, you know, anything by Kenny Rogers in the 70s, or, you know, we had that woman, Jacqueline Sand, who was from South Florida. She had a song on there, too. And, you know, there are all kinds. And, of course, those evil bastards, OAR, who, you know, wouldn't let us use their song
for
10-second snip for free. I know. But so 10 seconds. Give me a break. But this is just a snippet of what we, you know, we've come across just in the last couple of months. It's remarkable how many of these songs are out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, who knows how many more are out there. And, of course, when we do a show like this, I'm sure we're going to get bombarded with emails from folks that have other songs out there. But you'll have to wait probably another year before we have enough to do another poker music show.
At least. Now, normally we would, in the old days, we would hear OAR come in to let us know that we're going to the Hand of the Week. But that's not going to happen. So let's just move on to our Hand of the Week.
Hi, this is Shannon Elizabeth, and you are listening to the Anti-F Poker Cast.
Got a repeat Hand of the Week submitter this week, Chris. Comes from our good friend Anthony Cernuka.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I hacked the pronunciation last time. Srnka. You know, I think I should get a pass when you're lacking vowels in your name. I should get a pass on being able to pronounce it correctly.
I can't even visualize what it's spelled like, so I'm not even going to attempt to embarrass myself. So now, if this is a repeat, does that mean he doesn't get any swag?
No, I checked, and, you know, when we get down to the bottom of the barrel Hand of the Week, this is what we have to do. We get repeat winners in there, so, you know, if you guys out there want the same guys piling up their swag on their swag shelf at home,
okay,
that's what happens when you don't participate in our reindeer games here, so.
Well, what kind of hand is it?
This is actually a stud high-low hand. How's that, Chris?
Oh, my bread and butter.
Your bread and butter.
Man, no reason to go shopping this week, honey. I'm going to bring home enough bread for everyone. This is the hand, baby. I love stud eight.
All right. He's playing a dime 20-cent limit game, of course, on PokerStars.
Oh, man, right in my wheelhouse, too. Are you trying to butter me up?
Yep, this is where you grind out your $2 profit every night after you get booted from Apes, isn't it?
That's exactly why I get about $5.50, so I get my buy-in
back.
Okay,
all right, excellent. All right, of course, our hero here, folks will recognize him as Hans Griffel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, you got to know the pseudonym to really understand the play.
Yeah. Now I'm totally prepared for this hand. Now I know who it actually is.
All right, chip stacks are a little less important in a limit game, but looks like we have one guy who's under a buck. And everybody else seems to have enough to easily make it through this hand if it's capped on every street.
Okay.
And our hero, of course, has about $4. So
okay.
If that helps at all.
Okay.
Everybody anties the 2 cents. You know, it would be great, Chris, too, if the actual graphic was like a penny and not some kind of 2 cent chip. I would like to see Abe kind of like rolling into the pot when they ante up.
Well, on this hand, I would like to put in my 2 cents.
Oh, excellent. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you. That's pretty lame, but, you know, hey, it's the end of the show.
All right. Well, you're going to love this this Third Street board here, Chris, all right?
Okay.
We're looking around the table, and there is a deuce of hearts, a six of clubs, a six of hearts, an eight of spades, a tray of diamonds, a four of diamonds, and a tray of spades.
Good God.
How is that for a stud high-low or Raz board for that matter?
Good God.
Fireworks with a capital F.
Unless
you know, we have, not all we have this have stuff underneath, but wow.
Unless we have 2, 6, 3, I might even fold. Yeah, every card I need for my low is out practically if I'm going low. What are our cards?
Actually we have the seven of clubs up,
okay,
and the five of diamonds and the four of clubs underneath.
Oh, man. These hands make me nauseous. I mean...
Actually, isn't it technically nauseated? I know you're more of a math person than a verbal person.
Well, I'm jealous of your comment there, Scott, that you were so smart and I'm not.
Actually, no, you're envious.
I know. That's why I said it. But say it right up. I lobbed it up so you'd say that.
I mean, how many times do you get dealt a 5, a 4, and a 7 in stud high-low, two of them the same suit, and you're uneasy with the hand to start with?
Well, 6 of your outs are gone from adding this up correctly. Wow. Oh, oh, man.
What an anomaly. And, of course, I'm throwing an anomaly around like I'm a math guy and really understand what that means. But, you know, I saw it on CSI last night, so.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to do.
Board here, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those boards where you consider folding. It really is, because to make your straight, two of your threes are out and two of your sixes are out. To make two pair, your four is out. And, you know, to make your low, everything else is out.
Absolutely. I mean, get to have a two-way hand. I mean, it really, at this point, it's sad to say, the best you can hope for is a flush to win the high.
Yeah, and one of your clubs are out. Man, that's insane.
Crazy, crazy hand. Well, all right, let's see how it plays out. The bring-in is the deuce, of course, and we are next to act.
Okay, well, I really don't think that I would fold for a nickel, and you never know. You could get one of the—well, I guess not K-6s. You can get one of the last two sixes or whatever and then make your hand really powerful, so— I would call. I'm not going to raise, though. There's just no way you have that many people behind you with better lows.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I can't imagine ever dreaming about lowing here. Raising here. I mean, there's so many low cards out, you got to think that there's not a lot of other people that have three babies like you do.
Right.
But as you mentioned, I mean, your two-way on this hand is pretty much one-way at this point.
Yeah,
and even that one-way isn't looking very good.
Yeah, I think I'll call the nickel just because of the odds and because you never know what the next street's going to bring.
And I tell you this, I'm going to call the nickel just out of curiosity to stay in this hand to see how it happens. You know, I don't want to be a spectator in this hand, to be honest. All right, so our hero does call. Everybody calls except for the four diamonds that folds. So no surprise there.
So there's one smart person in the whole bunch, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess the four diamonds actually had like the pocket aces. He's like, oh, I'm getting out of this mess. Everybody else must think they have something here, or is just plain curious like I am. All right, here goes 4th Street. The deuce of hearts picks up the 10 of spades. Yes. Remember, we had the 7 of clubs up. We get the 9 of clubs, so we had the 5 of diamonds, 4 of clubs, 7 of clubs, 9 of clubs. The 6 of clubs gets a 10 of diamonds.
Huh.
6 of hearts gets a 4 of hearts. Ouch.
Ouch.
8 of spades gets the queen of clubs. All right, woohoo.
That's all right.
3 of diamonds gets the 6 of diamonds.
Oh.
Triple word score, ouch. Now he's got 2 babies, 2 diamonds, and he takes one more of our 6s.
Oh.
And the 3 of spades gets the 8 of diamonds.
Wow. Yeah, I'm done with his hand.
Oh, really? I mean, you got a couple people that hit big. So you can think they're going to get out, but you've got 2 really powerful boards out there, a 6 and tray of the same suit and a 6 and 4 of the same suit.
Yeah. Yeah, and, there's no way I'm continuing with this hand.
And like you said, your 6 comes like, wow, that's the worst card. If you would have got that in your hand, then it's completely different.
Wow.
I mean, about the only thing that we like about this is we got one more club, which I guess is what I was thinking if you're going high. But, you know, it's not a low one, so it doesn't help either low.
And even if you do make your club flush, it could end up being a 9 high club flush, and you've got some guy with a 6 and 4 of hearts who has an ace of hearts in the hole, and he makes a flush, and then you're going to lose anyway. You can't even be guaranteed half of him if you make a club flush.
Wow.
I'm done with this hand.
Well, this is me paying the dollar to the little carnival barker to walk in and see the pig with 6 eyes and
carnival barker.
I'm willing to give him the buck. I go inside and sure enough, he's got a magic marker. He drew 4 eyes on the pig, and I'm like, all right, thanks, well played, sir, and walk out. I'm not going to give him 5 more bucks to see the cow with 3 nipples.
Oh my God. So all right. So obviously. Our man Hands here doesn't fold, but just a lesson to the Anti-Up Nation. This is probably a hand that you should have let go because you can't win both ways now, and that's the platinum rule of stud 8, according to Todd Brunson, is if you can't win both ways, especially on 4th Street when you've gotten to see enough cards, just get out. So you're only asking for trouble by staying in.
All right, we three checks to start this hand. And then, get this, Chris, the player with the deuce of hearts, the ten of spades, bets.
What? Wow, say, look at that what? For some hat. Say what? I mean, there was even a ten on the board as well after him, right? There was a ten of diamonds out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, I mean, at best, he's got a set of tens with no hope of really improving.
Oh, my God.
You know, unless he has a pair of deuces on it, but then, oh, that's not even good. I mean, I guess you could start with a set of deuces. That would work.
All the more reason to fold. Yeah, all the more reason to fold.
Wow. All right, so we're next to action. And, of course, as we said, the hand would not be hand of the week if we got out of the way. So we do call here. We get one more caller behind us, and then the player with the six of hearts, four of hearts, raises. All right, show of hands on the Ante Up Nation. Who did not see this coming? all right, I don't see too many hands. So, I mean, this is a real problem with this hand. I mean, at this point, like we said, the curiosity's gone. Now you're putting more money in. You're going to risk getting raised and re-raised now at this point.
Yeah.
Because remember, we still got that guy with the three diamonds and six diamonds.
Yes.
Who actually, no, now that I look at the hand, I'm sorry, he folded. Or checked.
He checked. Yep. Oh, man, this is insane. Yeah. Again, I'm probably going to have to say this after every comment you make, but we should have folded here. And I can't call a raise now either, so I'm folding again. Oh, this guy's giving you an opportunity, Hans, to fold again. Take it. Fold.
All right, so we get two more callers. The three of spades, eight of diamonds gets out of the way. And then the caller before us, of course, we call to continue on, and the last player calls as well, too.
Jeez.
Whew. So we only lost one on those terrible bricks that fell on 4th Street.
Oh, man. All right, let's go to 5th Street.
Okay. The dude with deuce of hearts, ten of spades, who opened the betting on the last street, gets a three of hearts.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Another one of our outs.
We get the eight of clubs, Chris.
Oh.
So we have the five of diamonds, four of clubs, seven of clubs, nine of clubs, eight of clubs. So four clubs now and four low cards, though, I mean, I'm not too excited about that. But
oh.
Doesn't this already, before I get to the rest of this part of the hand, remind you of why Stud 8 is such a brutal game?
It's an excellent game for people who fold on 4th Street when they get a right. nine.
Because this is what happens. You pick up something, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, so now he's got four clubs. He's got a gut shot. He's got a gut shot to the low. I mean, not that it's going to be a winning low with this board, but now he's like, I got to stick around to the end, and it's only going to bring him heartbreak, man. This is sad.
All right, continuing along, the six of clubs, ten of diamonds, picks up the seven of hearts, the six of hearts, four of hearts, picks up the deuce of clubs.
Oh, jeez.
The eight of spades, queen of clubs, picks up the king of diamonds. All right, we're not too worried there. And the three of diamonds, six of diamonds, picks up the queen of diamonds.
Well, that hurts. I
mean, barely a brick, but three diamonds.
Three diamonds, yeah. Oh, man, can you smell whipsaw?
All right, we got three checks before it gets to us, Chris, and you'll be happy to know that hands checks.
Very good.
So.
It's probably the first thing I agree with, the whole hand.
One more check after him. The razor in the last street bets out. We get a call. We lose one player. And another caller, and it gets back to us.
Fold.
Yeah.
You got to fold. Even if you hit the K6, it might not be good.
We got two more betting rounds here, and like I said, I mean, I don't know what you're going to hit here that's really going to make you feel excited about putting in what's certainly going to be probably some raising on the last two streets, I would think.
I guess our best card is the ace of clubs. That would give us an eight low and an ace nine high flush. But really, you're looking for one card and, you know, what, 40 unknown cards or 38 unknown cards or whatever it is? No way, dude. I'm out of this hand. Again.
Yeah. All right. Well, our hero does call, and the player behind us folds. So we lost two more players. Still a lot of action going on, Chris.
God.
Sixth Street. The deuce of hearts, ten of spades, three of hearts, picks up the nine of spades.
That's a good card for us.
And Chris, are you sitting down for this?
Oh, jeez.
We pick up the six of spades, the K6, so now we have five of diamonds, four of clubs, seven of clubs, nine of clubs, eight of clubs, six of spades.
Oh, my God.
Pleated our straight. We've got a real low now.
He made it straight and he made it low.
It may not be good on either one of them.
It probably isn't. Wow. Now, you know, let's go, not to get too far away from this, and everyone's going to forget what everybody's cards were by the time I'm done my point. But
I don't think it matters at this point.
I was thinking this week about why they call it the Case 6.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When you get a pack of cards, you get a deck of cards. No one says, hey, give me a case of cards. Why don't we call it the Case 6? Why don't we call it the Deck 6 or the Pack 6? Or why is it the Case?
Or the Setup 6.
Yeah, why is it the Case? It doesn't make any sense to me. I actually grabbed the dictionary and looked up the word deck because I often wondered, what the hell is a deck? A deck is what I go sunbathe on. It's not what I play. I don't understand. Why is it just a pile of cards? Why is it the deck of cards? All right, sorry for my little rant there, but
no,
yeah.
That's great.
We hit the deck 6. I can't believe it.
Probably the second best card we could hit, but still, it may actually, to be honest, it might be the worst card.
Yeah.
Because we're definitely not going anywhere now.
Yeah.
And it could just cost us some more money. But all right. Well, the 6 of hearts, 4 hearts, 2 of clubs. The guy who's been raising all Iowa picks up the 5 of spades.
Oh man.
And the 8 of spades, queen of clubs, king of diamonds. Why this person's still on? I have no idea. Picks up the 9 of hearts. Let's hope he or she gets out of the way. Unless, of course, he's made a straight now.
Yeah, it's probably a
Jack
straight.
Jack 10 underneath there.
Yeah.
All right, so 2 checks before us. And, Chris, I'm going to go on the limb and say that you're going to check here.
Yeah, you know why? Because if you're playing on PokerStars, you can't fold. Otherwise, I might even consider it. But I'll check and let them bet.
All right, so our initial, the guy who's been keeping the action going, continues to bet out, of course, and why not?
Yeah.
Got four babies showing. Or we get a caller. We lose a guy, thankfully. It gets back to us, Chris. Are you sitting down?
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
Our good friend Hans raises.
Are you kidding? Hey, does Hans have a banana? Because if he does, we're going to revoke it.
No, hey, yeah, come on. Let's be nice to our buddy here. He's playing 10 cent, 20 cent, or something like that, right? Learning the game.
Wow. Well, here's something to think
about,
Scott.
Tell him why this is not, why this is an ill-advised raise.
Here's something to think about, okay? And it's sort of akin to Omaha 8. Once you start hitting those middle cards, you're not going to make a hand that's high or low. And even if you make a made straight, your straight is not very high. The other thing to consider when you look at this board, have you noticed there's not one ace showing yet?
That is true.
That means everyone that is in the hand with you probably has an ace, which means that you cannot make the best low because that 6-4 deuce 5 has to have an ace in the hole. And that means that the king, queen, 9-8 is probably got either ace jack or ace 10 in the hole of like spades. You know, or he's got Jack 10, so he's make a higher straight than you. And all you can hope for now is a club to make a higher flush. But a lot of your clubs are out, too. This is one of those middling hands where you really are just advised to get out before it costs you too much money. Never mind raising. I would never raise in this spot because you can never, ever win the low. And odds of you winning the high, again, those aces are all out. And if that guy with the 6-4-2-5 has, like, the ace of hearts, he started with 3 babies to a heart flush. That's higher than yours. You got to get out of the way here. Never mind. Don't raise. You got to just, if you're going to call, if you're going to play the hand, you got to at least call and hope you get to a cheap showdown.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the one case I can make for calling here is that, you know, we do have a hand now. We have a low hand and we have a straight. Now, again, we don't think either one of them is good, but the straight might be good. And the reason you'd call here is you're going to close the action out.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not going to be raising us, so you know you're putting 20 cents into whatever this pot is at this point now. And, you know, who knows what's going to come on 7th Street. I don't know what could come that really helps. I mean, like you said, maybe the ace of clubs. But, you know, for 20 cents more in this big pot, I might just call here. And because I know I'm not going to get, as you said, whipsawed and get into a raising war, at least until the river.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever want to open the betting up again for somebody who's guaranteed half the pot, and I'm not guaranteed anything yet. And that's the other thing, too. There is a reason for calling, because if you do hit the ace of clubs, you would, in fact, make a 7-6-5-4 ace low, and that 6-4-5 deuce could conceivably make a 7-6, right. You know what I mean, 5-4-2 deuce, whatever, and then you could actually make a better low, but it's highly unlikely. I'm just going to call here and pray to God that I only have to make one call on the river.
Pray to the poker gods, right?
Pray to the poker gods, yeah, because you're listening.
All right, well, hero does raise, and show of hands from the Antiamp Nation, who did not expect Sheephead, our initial raiser here, to re-raise us. We'll pause for the crickets. He does raise it, makes it three bets. We get a call, who's all in after that. Gets back to us, Chris. Do you got Dr. Frank's number?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
9-1. Hands raises it.
Oh.
Caps it.
Oh, man.
We have just the one opponent's all in, so now we're essentially heads up with this guy who, by all stretch of imagination here, has got the low virtually locked up. Probably has a high, too, although our high is probably better than him. You know, unless it's
the ace of hearts. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got ace, five of hearts in the hole, or whatever the other heart.
Hearts, deuce of clubs, five of spades. So, yeah, he'd need to have two in the hole. All right. Of course, our opponent does not get out of the way and calls. So we go to the river. Remember, heads up now with one player heads in.
Right.
Our final card, Chris, the jack of clubs.
Eh.
Our final board is five of diamonds, four of clubs, seven of clubs, nine of clubs, eight of clubs, six of spades, jack of clubs. So we can prove to a jack high flush with the remaining low.
Yeah, eight, and seven low. I don't like this at all.
And in unison, we'll say, don't bet! Jack call! Jack call!
Yeah.
He didn't hear us. He bet. He gets raised. Gets back to us.
No.
Do we have enough money in the Antiamp treasury to buy a defibrillator?
He raises again, Scott.
Yeah, Hans raises again. Of course, our opponent, of course, caps it. Of course, at this point, the only thing that can make this hand better is for us to fold for the one last bet. Of course, we don't do that. We call, and we... look at our opponent showing ace of hearts, five of hearts, six of hearts, four of hearts, deuce of clubs, five of spades, king of hearts.
Yep.
That would be, boys and girls at home, an ace high flush and a 65 low.
Oh, man. Scooper.
Scooper.
Oh, man. Well, the good news is that you were playing 10 cent, 20 cent, and not $10, $20.
Right.
So you only lost... a couple of bucks, maybe $3. But, wow, yeah. Man, when you're going one way with a hand and then, you know you got a low there, but you don't got the low. You know you're only going to be able to win one way and you only have one opponent left. Don't raise.
Absolutely.
There's no way. There's no way your low's good there.
And, again, this is why we love this game so much and it's why it's so frustrating to beginners is, you keep getting – cards that make it look like it's better, but you got to pay attention to what's out there and really understand what is a good low and a good high hand.
Yeah,
you're not looking for any high hand or any low hand. You really got to have a really good one way or the other, and preferably both. And it's just too easy to get sucked into a hand, go all the way to the end, and see something like this happen.
Yeah, it's a shame. But, that's probably why he's playing lower limits, too. He's probably still learning the game, still learning the nuances of it, and really, even from the first, the first three cards, your door card, when you saw that all those other cards were out, you might want to consider folding then. And it proves our point that you only get into trouble by playing it, and that's what happened here.
Absolutely. Well, Anthony, we do appreciate you being a good sport, sending this this crazy hand in, and I hope you know we're just trying to help you out and help our listeners out by breaking it down. And thank you for sending this in. We will send you a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. I wish we had a set of Stud 8 strategy cards from Great Poker Hands. I'll have to check in with Nick there and find out whether he's working on those, because those would be awesome. But thanks again for sending in the hand, and send in future hands to podcast@antiamagazine.com.
I want to thank everyone for sending in their awesome songs for us to use on our show today. And Scott, thanks for making the show so enjoyable.
Hey, I try, buddy.
You were hilarious today. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Locke.
We'll see you at the tables.
Antiamp is a production of AntiampMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. contact us at podcast@anyupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anyupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.